Welcome to WRTI's Classical Stream, made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Learn more at WRTI.org.
Our guest today is one of the most celebrated luminaries of the classical world. He's pianist Andre Watts, and he will be performing on Sunday, November 1st at the Kimmel Center here in Philadelphia. Welcome, Andre Watts, to Crossover.
Greetings. Thank you.
Mr. Watts, you are just a name in the music world for many, many years, a really celebrated artist. And we're so thrilled that you're coming to Philadelphia. When was the last time that you were here?
Last season, sometime with the orchestra.
Now, you have a very full schedule, and you have a very heavy teaching schedule, but you did just recently return from a tour of Asia, isn't that correct?
Well, I was in Japan for just about a month, yes.
And you're going to be playing some Schubert and Liszt on your concert on Sunday. I'd like to know, is this a Schubert year? There seems to be so much of
his really? Work. I didn't think so, although I must say I didn't look.
Yeah, it's coming from out of the crevices, and I was just wondering, is Schubert being rediscovered or...
I don't think that it's a Schubert year.
It's not an anniversary.
We're coming up on, Chopin and Schumann and, like that. Not that I'm aware of, anyway, I'm sorry to say.
Well, no, I myself was wondering. We were trying to look for some kind of significant mile marker, but it seems that everyone suddenly has discovered that Schubert is really a phenomenal composer.
Oh, how interesting.
Much more than they thought before. I think they always realized how great he was, but for some reason, this is the year. So we look forward to your wonderful concert.
Thank you. It will be the recital.
Tell us a little bit about of what you're doing these days. When do you get time to teach? You have a very full teaching schedule, don't you?
Well, I only have six students, and at University, IU, Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And I just make sure that I'm here a certain number of days every month. My trip to Japan took up the month of September, but that's quite unusual for me to be gone for an entire month. Usually, the longest I'm away is 3 weeks at a time. And so then when I get back here, we just, students just have long lessons and, two or three or four lessons a week.
Yes, to catch up with you
right.
and your touring. Yeah. Well, tell us again a little bit about how your career has progressed. You were a very, very young pianist when you just were a tremendous sensation. And I think you made your debut, was it with Leonard Bernstein in the New York Philharmonic?
Yes. Well, actually, the first concert that I ever played with orchestra was in Philadelphia when I was 10. With the Philadelphia Orchestra. But my career got started when I was 16, playing actually first during young people's concerts on television, and then substituting for Glenn Gould on a regular subscription concert with the Philharmonic. And that was sort of just, it was one of those, insane fortune situations where one day you can't get arrested for concerts, and the next day people are offering to pay you to play concerts.
Yes.
So it was like that, and basically it's been more of the same in all the years since. I'm 63 now, so it's a long time.
I was wondering, just how has your career changed in terms of, well, if you compare it to the earlier years?
Well, everything. I mean, careers change because people change. We get older, and it's a combination of different things interest one. I mean, I'm always interested and happy to go someplace I've never been before, but I'm less eager about the traveling and less interested necessarily. And, there are some places I've never been that I imagine I also will never go before I die. And well, that's perfectly okay. Yeah. When you're younger, you know, you want to do everything.
And you have the energy as well, yeah.
And so it's already that's different. I think that I once had a very interesting conversation with Gerard Shandor, the great pianist, and he was very kind to me, and I liked him very much. And he said, "Well, you know, you really don't play any different now than you did when you were 10 years old." You know, and I said, "Oh, come on!" You know, I started to argue with him, and he was very indulgent with me, and he said, "Yeah, I know you play better. Of course, I assume you play better. You practiced, and you're more able." But very, very few people actually change the basic thrust of their personality, their persona, their character, their musical direction. You know, you may become interested in diametrically opposite composers. That's different. But the actual way in which you project your music that at your chosen instrument probably doesn't change that much. And I think he was very right. I agree with him, and it makes great sense. I mean, rarely. It can happen. I mean, those are the exceptions that make the rule. But rarely does it happen that let's say, an extrovert child becomes an introvert performer.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. That's unusual.
But, of course, you have to mature. I mean, that's part of growing up.
Well, if you're
lucky. Yeah. Well, as an artist, I think, don't you play things a little differently? Don't you revisit things that you played, say, 30 years ago and perhaps see them a little different?
Well, of course. I mean, the thing about the music is that if you really study a piece very carefully, and you could even record it, and then 2 months later re-study it, you will find new things. That's what is somehow magical and incomprehensible about the great works of music.
How do you feel about contemporary music?
Well, I like some. I mean, I'm not an enormously big exponent of contemporary music. I like sort of a little bit sideline stuff. I like the music of Luciano Berio, and I like Ligeti's music very much. And for example, I like the music of Jennifer Higgins very much.
Oh, Higdon, yes, right.
She's
very accessible, I think.
Yeah, and a variety of composers are quite. We have really good composers nowadays.
Yes,
who are writing music that is in music intended to be listened to, to be heard by human beings. And that wasn't always the case.
No, that seems to be the consensus, especially when you were making your big, impression. I think that was a period when there was a lot of music that was written that was very difficult.
Yeah, 60s, 70s.
Yes, very difficult to comprehend. Yeah.
Composition.
Now, you as a teacher, what do you tell your students as far as a future is concerned? Piano is very special. It's not an orchestral instrument in that sense. You are a soloist. What do you tell them to expect? Because I don't think there are any of the community concert series anymore.
Well, I think they probably know without my necessarily telling them that it's a profession fraught with misery and difficulties and getting increasingly so. I mean, and I may have mentioned it, but I don't frequently tell them how pleased I am that I don't have to start a career in this environment and in this climate. I understand that it seems easy for someone like me to say, but I don't say it lightly. I think it's true for everyone, for the most famous of us and those who have no fame and no career, and everything in between. Your relationship with your music is more important than anything else, and you can find that out in the course of having great success or having great failure. You have to keep it separate from the dross of everyday life, let's go out and make money to pay the rent and buy a loaf of bread, to eat, so I can live and practice some more.
Mm-hmm.
You have to separate that, and you have to keep it separate. And it's a special haven, kind of, that is very private. It's very personal. No one else is privy to that. No one else need be privy to it or know about it, or it doesn't have to be explained to anyone else. And it is just yours. It's individuation proof. Of proof of individuation in a way. And so if you maintain contact with that, it's easier to withstand all the other difficulties of trying to have a career.
There is a kind of heroic, I feel, effort made when you do a recital on your own, and you're certainly going to be tackling some of the composers that really knew how to write for piano. You're doing Liszt and Schubert. And any favorites, although I never really like to ask that question, but do you identify particularly with...
Well, no, I mean, I the only way I could answer that kind of a question would be to say that if it were a desert island question, Schubert would be my desert island composer, yes.
Please, again, this is so surprising. I can't tell you, because all of this Schubert suddenly emerging from all corners and in all guises.
Fascinating.
It's
no
so
idea.
Interesting that you should come up with that. I tell you, in the last, I would say the last month or so, I mean, there are four or five new releases and albums and discussions about Schubert and transcriptions, and it's just unbelievable. And I really wondered about it. It's almost like
well, those things happen, you know. You periodically, that kind of synchronicity occurs. You look at you know, if you travel and you look at the seasons of a couple of different of the major orchestras. I remember one season everybody was doing Zemlinsky. And I thought, really? It's an anniversary, and it turned out not to be.
Nothing. Isn't it
These
funny?
Things happen sometimes.
Right. As far as recordings are concerned, do you have any plans for anything?
No plans. No plans.
No. And you have just come back from traveling, so I guess you're going to rest a while. Is that right? After your...
Well, I'm playing chamber music here at the university with Jamie Laredo and Sharon Robinson.
Well, that's fun.
This Saturday, I'm playing Mozart Piano Quartet this Saturday, and then I have a recital on the 25th in Indianapolis, actually. So, and then the day after I leave, after I play Philadelphia, I'm flying to Europe.
Are you doing any concertos at all?
Not now. I played concertos in Japan in September, and now, between now and January, only recitals.
How were you received in Japan?
Well, I have nice audiences in Japan. My God, it's I went to Japan for the first time 40 years ago. So I've been often, and I'll have a good time there.
Well, I'm sure that the audience has had a better time.
Well, I don't know. We hope so.
But it's wonderful for you to come back here. I just wanted to ask you, who did you study with?
Well, I studied with, in Philadelphia, I studied with Doris Bawden and Genia Robinor and Clement Petrillo. And then my last teacher was Leon Fleischer.
Okay, who went through quite a shocking, you know, with his dystonia.
Yes, yes.
But he has been playing again. He's released his third album, which is really quite incredible.
Yes, it's quite wonderful. Yeah.
So I guess that's there's all kinds of wondrous stories. Well, thank you so, so much for giving your precious time
thank
to
you.
Us.
Thank you. Thank you. My pleasure.
And it's a pleasure speaking with you, and we'll look forward to hearing your recital.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you
so much.
Take
care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.